Good morning. Good morning. I'm gonna slide this over here a little bit. Oh, help me out. Man, that's the first time we had a band in what, like 6 months? That was cool. That was cool. I like that. I like that. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. It's our general habit to walk through books of the Bible here at Reconcile. We want the scripture to set the course of what we're going to talk about. And so we just finished up the book of John. We're going to go to the Old Testament, look at the book of Jonah. You know, one of the interesting things is when I first became a Christian, I was 14 years old. I was a freshman in high school, and I became a Christian by really just reading the scriptures. The scriptures just came alive in my heart, and I thought, man, this is awesome. God loves me. He sent Jesus to die for me, and now I can live for him. But one of the most interesting things that happened to me is when I started talking to my friends about this God that found me in the scriptures, when I started telling others about this awesome thing that I just found out, a common thing would happen. They would always go, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian too. Now, in my mind, now knowing my friends, I was like, for real? You are? What? And as I was talking to them, I'd be like, man, are we even reading the same book? Like, what in the world are you talking about? This doesn't, like, I'm reading about Jesus and I ain't perfect, but you ain't even trying. Like, I don't understand. Has anybody had that experience before? You be like, oh, you following Jesus? Yeah. And they like doing whatever they want to do. Here's something that's interesting, particularly about the South, and South Carolina in particular. There's a danger of proclaiming allegiance to God, but having a life that rejects him. There's a danger in proclaiming allegiance to God, but living a life that rejects him. Matter of fact, a lot of the times when the church and Christians get a bad name is for people doing explicitly what the scripture tells us not to do. And so we have these issues of saying, well, I follow God, but we actually reject obedience. But the other common thing that we would see is people would say, I follow God, but they actually reject the compassion of the God that we serve. So those who look at God's law and say it doesn't matter are those who look down on others and say, well, you're not really that good because you don't follow God. Both are rejections of God, and it's strange for those who would claim allegiance to Jesus to reject his heart and to reject his law. And that's what brings us to the book of Jonah. This is the story about a prophet that ran away from God's calling and disliked God's heart. Now get this. His job was to tell people about God. That's what the prophet means. That was his job, and everybody would know him as the guy that tells people about God. But this prophet, who's supposed to hear the word of God and then go tell others, heard God's word and said, nah, I'm not about to do that. And so we're going to dub this sermon series the Foolish Prophet. Jonah, the Foolish Prophet, because he claimed a religious name, but actually was rebellious in his heart. And beloved, that's a dangerous place to be. I don't want to be there. I don't want you to be there. So let us walk through Jonah chapter 1 and ask the Lord to protect us from this religious hypocrisy. If you would, pray with me. Lord Jesus, I ask that your spirit would be here to convict, to reveal, to encourage. Lord, we want to be people that hear and obey your word. So by the Spirit, would you speak powerfully through your word this morning, the word that divides and reveals the contents of our heart. We ask that you would show up this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to start out. We're going to this idea that those who claim the name of the Lord can run from the Lord. Look at verse 1. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come up before me. Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with him to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. Now here's what we got to understand. Imagine if God came to you and said, I want you to go to Charlotte. And you get on 85 and you start going to Atlanta. The exact opposite direction. This is exactly what Jonah's doing. The Lord says, go this way. He's like, actually, let me go the exact opposite direction. And what's so interesting is verse 1 starts with that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now, how many of us want God to speak to us? Even if you doubt something about God, you're like, well, if he's real, it would be really dope if he said something to me. In our minds, we would think, if he said something to me, I would probably listen. If God spoke, I would probably do what he said. But God's word came to Jonah, and he rejected it. You know, we live in a time where people are always searching for a purpose. They're searching for a direction. And one of the things that I find interesting is most of the conversations that I have with people are like, well, what does God want me to do? Or I think God wants me to do this thing. How do I do it? But it's really interesting how people try to figure that out. They'll be paying attention into like, well, maybe the cloud looked a particular way. Or I saw this word 2 times on Sunday, therefore I should do this thing. They find like, they study their environment and they find peculiar and abnormal things and try to cling to the thing to try to discern what God's will is. But here's the interesting thing, that God has spoken most clearly to us through his word, the scriptures. So many of us who are like, if God would just speak to me, I would do what he wanted me to do. Yet we have this scripture that the Lord says is inspired, means that it is breathed out by God, but we will refuse to read it. We find ourselves searching, what is God going to say, but we don't open up the book that he wrote. Not only that, there are times that we read it, and just like Jonah, we go, well, nah, I don't feel like doing that today. Right? Let's get real practical when it says, love your enemies. Like, but I don't like that guy. Right? Pray for those who curse you. Nah, I need to pray for me. Right? There's these explicit commands that come from the mouth of God. And we always think, well, if God would just come down in a vision and speak to me, but he has come down in the scriptures and he has spoken. And so often we refuse to read and we refuse to listen. So it's really easy to look at Jonah and be like, well, what are you doing? The word of God came to you and you did the opposite. But beloved, how many times are we in that exact position? Now here's the question. Why did he run? Now, I know a lot of preachers, and they would, if the Lord said, I want you to go to the big city and preach, they're like, oh, snap, this is my break. I'm going to get that mega church or something, right? But we need to understand something about the city of Nineveh. See, Nineveh was a major city of the Assyrians. That was a very large empire at the time. And listen, they were a cruel and warlike people who were longtime enemies of Israel. And now if you go back and you look at Assyrian artwork, it emphasizes war, including scenes of execution, impalement, flaying of the skin, and beheadings. This is the place that God told Jonah to go. Now, can you understand his reluctance? God, they kind of crazy over there, man. Like, they cutting people's head. I don't want to go over there. We don't even like each other like that. It's like if Jonah said, God, where you want me to go? And God says, I want you to go to ISIS. Jonah would be like, man, come on now. I ain't hear that right. In fact, at the time, there were prophecies going around by prophets in Judah that said that Assyria would actually take Israel over. So there's these prophecies going around that Assyria is going to take over Jonah's home country. And the fact of the matter is this proved to be true. Assyria eventually destroyed Israel and took 27,000 of them as captives. Can you understand why Jonah was a little bit hesitant? Right? It would have been like if he would have asked him to go do something really cool. You know, go talk to those people who will love you. Oh, man, that'd be dope. Go talk to those people who would just say you're the champion. Oh, man, I will go and do that. But no, go to the people who are your enemies. Go to the people who don't like you. This points to this truth. We want to be used by God, but we want to be used by God on our own terms. We want to be used by God, but we want to serve the people that we like. See, this is how one can tell if serving God is a mask for serving oneself. Now, imagine that because Jonah was a prophet in Israel, he has some honor. Right? When he walked around his hometown, they were, oh man, he's the prophet. When he would say something, people would listen. And he could, from his heart, maybe think, well, I'm doing this because I value and honor God so much. But the moment that God calls him to sacrifice and to a people that he does not like, he shrinks back, which reveals that he's not actually serving God in the first place. He is serving himself. Beloved, it is possible to serve God because it makes you look good in the eyes of people. And you can tell this in your heart when God calls you to do something that you don't want to do, and suddenly you don't want to be the person that God calls. This is how you know when serving God is a mask for serving oneself. Now, here's the interesting thing. If I was God and I told Jonah to do something and he ran away, I feel like I'd be like, well, let me go try somebody else, I guess. I'm not messing with him no more. He's tripping. But that's not what he does. The good news is that God pursues foolish people. God pursues foolish people. Look at verse 4. It says, but the Lord threw a great wind onto the sea. And such a great storm arose on the sea that the ship threatened to break apart. The sailors were afraid and each cried out to his God. They threw the ship's cargo into the sea to lighten the load. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down to the lowest part of the vessel and had stretched out and had fallen into a deep sleep. The captain approached him and said, what are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call to your God. Maybe this God will consider us and we won't perish. Now listen, when it's your job to drive a boat, you think you done seen a storm, right? If it's your job to go on the water, you think you have seen very terrible storms. This helps us understand the magnitude of the storm. That the people who were professional sailors said, whoa, we are about to die. Now what's interesting is that the Lord uses this means to pursue Jonah. This is what we call discipline. When things are going bad in life, the common question that bubbles up is, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Biblically, I think there are two reasons. Two reasons that something bad could be happening to you. First, it could be the reason of Jonah, that you are wrong and the Lord is trying to get your attention. Or it could be that you're following him well, but the Lord wants to train you. Now, what this means is that when we find ourselves in hard times, we need to do some self-examination. See, we live in an age that doesn't have enough quiet time to do self-examination. What I mean is we do the things we're going to do. We think about how to do the things that we're going to do, but we often don't think about why we do the things that we do. That's going to require you to get by yourself and you know, turn off Instagram for a minute, turn off the music for a minute, and ask the Lord, examine my own heart. Why do I feel the way I feel? Why? Listen, it's the craziest thing about our emotions. Do you know you can be frustrated and nobody else know, but you feel it? People think you're the nicest person, but you're like, in my heart, that really annoyed me. See, we have to get to the bottom of that. We don't just need to let that stew. We have to do some self-examination. Why do I want the things that I want? Lord, help me to understand why I'm doing this and why I'm feeling this way. See, particularly when things are going crazy like the last 6 months, we could just look at everything and go, why? But one of the things we need to do is go, Lord, everything is going on around me, but what is going on inside of me? Reveal what is going on inside of me right now. Now, whether there's craziness going on because you are disobedient or because the Lord is training you, the response to the Lord is the same. It is faith and repentance. Beloved, if you are in sin and you feel like your life is going crazy, it is that time that you would go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I see what you're doing. I see what you are pointing out to me, and I know that I need to change. Help me to believe that you will forgive me. But even if it's that you're being disciplined because you are seeking the Lord, oh, the faith looks like, help me to trust you even though you are training me and it's uncomfortable. Help me to trust you even though you are exposing parts of me that I didn't know were there because of this hard time. Beloved, when trials come, the response is the same, that we would turn to the Lord and we would say, search me, examine me, change me. Now, instead of doing that, Jonah went to sleep. What? See, the pagans, those around who served other gods, showed more devotion to their gods than Jonah showed to the true God. See, oftentimes, the church's devotion to Christ pales in comparison to the world's devotions to their gods and ideologies. A lot of people are up in arms and excited about a lot of things, but beloved, we must be excited about Christ Jesus. See, in trouble, Jonah should have sought God, but instead, he sought to escape through ignoring. Now, sometimes you go to sleep because you're tired, but sometimes you go to sleep because you don't want to talk to nobody and you just want to I'm going to back up. Has anybody ever been there? I'm just by myself. All right, so sometimes I go to sleep because I'm annoyed or because I don't want to deal with something. See, we often distract ourselves with business or with trivial things to divert our attention from God. Beloved, again, that is why it is important that we would have time carved out for God to be present to Him and also to be present to what's going on in our own hearts. Now, sleeping isn't bad. We need to sleep. But he was taking something that was good and using it as a tool of distraction. We need some self-examination. See, well, what do we spend our time on? Does your thumb hurt because you scroll too much? Maybe that is a mechanism you're using to distract yourself. We have to be present to God and we have to be present to ourselves. Now, here's the interesting thing. Jonah is in clear disobedience, right? We know he did something wrong because God said, go there. And he said, nah, I'm going to go the opposite way. But Jonah still clung to his religious identity in the middle of his disobedience. Look at verse 7. It says, come on, the sailors said to one another, let's cast lots. Then we'll know who is to blame for this trouble we're in. So they cast lots, and the lot singled out Jonah. They said to him, tell us who is to blame for this trouble we're in. What is your business? Where are you from? What is your country? And what people are you from? He answered, I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heavens who made the sea and the dry land. I want you to really think about the hypocrisy of that statement. Right? Who are you? What do you do? I worship God, y'all. What is he doing? He is directly disobeying God. That sounds silly. Uh-oh. That sounds silly when you think about it. Too often we claim our history or our family's history for our justification. This is what I mean. often I'm talking to somebody, I'll be like, hey, how do you know you're a Christian? They'll say, well, you know, one time I walked down the aisle, you know, I prayed a prayer. Or they might say, well, my grandfather or my uncle so-and-so was a pastor. Or they might say, I've always been a Christian. The fact of the matter is, what are you doing right now? What are you worshiping right now? That reveals the true state of the heart. Jonah clung to his religious identity and was not honest about the state of his heart. But beloved, when our actions reveal rebellion, we need to be honest about that. Let's not cling to something that is not presently true. Now, here's the craziest thing. Jonah would rather die than obey the Lord. Look at verse 10. Then the men were seized by great fear and said to him, what have you done? The men knew he was fleeing from the Lord's presence because he told them, pause, listen, he says, Leo, I worship God. What are you doing? I'm running from God. Anyway, so they said to him, what should we do to you so that the sea will calm down for us? For the sea was getting worse and worse. He answered them, pick me up and throw me into the sea so that it will calm down for you. For I know that I am to blame for this great storm that's against you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to the land, but they couldn't because the sea was raging against them more and more. So they called out to the Lord, please, Lord, don't let us perish because of this man's life, and don't charge us with his innocent blood, for you, Lord, have done just as you please. Now, here's an interesting thing. Imagine in a scenario, they're like, yo, Jonah, I know that you disobeyed the Lord and you ran from the Lord. What should we do? What if Jonah just said, well, take me the other way? Turn the boat around and I need to go to Nineveh, I guess. That's not what he said. This is a storm that has career sailors freaking out. And Jonah says, well, let me just die. Just throw me in the water. I don't want to obey God that bad. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to see those people. I don't want to mess with those people. I don't want to mess with my God. Just take me out. See, he complicated his own life again. How often do we complicate our lives because we don't want to walk in simple obedience? It'd be interesting if he gave him like a confusing task, like solve this riddle, right? But he says, go over there. Just go there. Nah. There are so many issues and problems in our life that are very simple, but they're difficult. And so we don't do them. And it complicates our lives. One of the main ways that I see this sometimes is in our views of intimacy, of physical intimacy. See, we don't want to honor God's plan for our lives, and it complicates our lives and the lives of those around us. When God has a clear plan, hey, I want you to save that for marriage. Oh, we want to step outside, or we're tired of that person. That might not seem that big of a deal, but I have looked in the eyes of children who are weeping because of the destruction that the parents' refusal of simple obedience has caused. Beloved, simple obedience saves us from trouble and saves those around us from trouble. This doesn't mean that you have to live condemned. God forgives every sin, but we do have to live with the consequences of what we have done. Now, here's the craziest thing. Through all of this rebellion, through Jonah saying, I would rather die than do what you want me to do, God still showed compassion to Jonah through these sailors. God used these people whom did not know him to communicate love and care. That is how intensely our God loves us. That he will use a variety of circumstances to remind us in a variety of ways that he cares. One of the interesting things is that these sailors started following God. Look at verse 15. It says, then they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. The men were seized by great fear of the Lord, and they offered sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. God displayed his power even through the disobedience of his own prophet. There's one thing that is not unclear. God will receive glory. You can be happy and obey him and he'll receive glory, or you can disobey him and it won't go well with you and he will receive glory. But one thing that is not in question is if God will be glorified. And lastly, God did not allow Jonah to run away from him. Remember, the reason he jumped in the sea, he's like, let me just die. And God's like, nope, not an option. I will not let you destroy your life. I will not let you run from me. I am going to pursue you. Beloved, even in our most self-destructive tendencies, our God is still pursuing us. I feel like if I was God, I would have been pretty annoyed at Jonah at that point. Like, why won't you just do what I told you to do? Come on, man. But God is displaying compassion to the one who repeatedly disobeys him. Beloved, this is the compassion of our God. God relentlessly pursues you. Man, that is a great hope to me. I don't know about your heart, but my heart seems wayward at times. My heart is attracted to other things. I get distracted, but my God will not let me walk down the path of destruction. Beloved, he will pursue you and me. Now, let's think about this again. Jonah would literally rather die than go to Nineveh. What made him do that? Well, one, it was fear, right? We talked about how they were kind of a cruel people. So he was scared. He feared man over God. And in all honesty, there was some national and ethnic hatred there too. Right? He's like, man, they're going to destroy my country and my people. I don't like them no more. These are things that God wants us to deal with. That we would not allow the fear of other people to determine what we would do. And that we would call ethnic hatred what it is and root it out. Now, here's the question you always have to ask yourself, particularly when you're reading the Old Testament. What does this have to do with Jesus? What does this have to do with Jesus? There's a rap song that I like, and the line goes, y'all should be mindful of this devout thesis. All of the Bible is about Jesus. So how in the world is this story of this rebellious prophet about Jesus? Beloved, Jonah, in a way, is kind of an anti-Jesus. See, Jesus loved his enemies and willingly went to them. Jonah looked at his enemies and said, I would rather die than go and pursue them. Jesus looks at his enemies and says, I will pursue them to the point that I will die for them. Beloved, in this juxtaposition, in the evil of Jonah, we might see our own selves, but when we compare it to Jesus, we see the greatness of Jesus' pursuit of us, that he will not leave us even when we wave our fists at him because we reject his commands. He pursues us to the point of death. Jonah hated his enemies. Jesus prayed for his enemies. Jesus was willingly sacrificed for his enemies in their place for salvation. Look, Jonah's disobedience left him in the belly of the well or the fish 3 days and three nights. The obedience of Jesus for the sake of his people left him in the grave for 3 days. Beloved, if you find yourself convicted or if you identify with the fears, the temptations, and the sins of Jonah, I have good news for you. There is a Savior that sees you, pursues you, has died for you, and will willingly, graciously accept you. So what should we do with all this? Beloved, if your life is difficult right now, it may be that God is trying to get your attention. Slow down your life enough. Slow down your heart enough. Be in the quiet place enough to say, God, what are you saying to me? And beloved, we need not only be Christians in name. This is not a call to perfection, It's a call to honesty and effort. We just heard this news about how Jesus is not like Jonah, the one who doesn't like his enemies and runs away, but Jesus is the one who sees us in our sin and in our rebellion and says, I will go and pursue you. Beloved, if that message hasn't resonated in your heart before, if you have never actually repented, maybe you have been relying on your family or on somebody else's spirituality. Beloved, Jesus wants you. And so as I pray and as we conclude in worship, if that is you, I want you to call out to Jesus. He is ready and willing to forgive you and to receive you. If that is you after the service, I'd love to talk to you. For everyone else, Lord, I ask and I'm praying that the Lord would highlight areas in our lives where we are walking in disobedience. It might be something simple, but it might be something hard and we've been running. But we need to understand that God's attitude of love and grace means that when we follow him in obedience, even if it's hard, there is life and peace in that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you have shown your compassion. Lord, I thank you that you pursue foolish people. Lord, I thank you that you see your enemies and you don't hate them, but you have compassion. Compassion that drove you to the cross. Compassion that still works in you today to call us to yourself. Lord God, if there are areas where we need to repent, Lord, by the grace of the Spirit, would you let us do that? Lord, would you meet us today as we worship? In Jesus' name, amen.